God, you're back. This is fantastic. I'm Claire Bottomley and I'm your host, and this certainly is the recruiting superhero. Yep, you're excited, I'm excited. And if you can't wait anymore, go ahead, listen, and let me know what you think. Thanks for coming back. I really appreciate it. Next up, I have an awesome chat for you to listen to. The much-loved Lorenzo Romano is joining me. Lorenzo is the UK and Ireland Managing Director for Orange Business Services. He has been part of the OBS team for 9 years and is responsible for retention and growth. We discuss a number of topics overall, but today I wanted to bring you a few snippets where we discussed how do candidates choose new companies, what candidates should be asking when at interview stage, and also what should you be looking for in a new company. Also, if you really like the show, don't forget to follow and share. Your support really helps. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Are you up in your loft room?
Yeah, I'm up in the my little study. My wife has the one next door over there, which is fitted out nicely. And I get the old awkward room. But I've got a nice sofa that I can go and sleep on. Look at that. And I have my refreshment centre there. So I'm fine here. I'll survive. I survived the lockdown in this room. I'll be all right.
Yeah, that's good. I've spoken to a lot of people and they have all these designated areas where they've kind of finalised things with their other half. You have that room. I don't work well in this room. You can do this room. And so, yeah, it's never ending. So one of my first questions to you today, Lorenzo, is, are people looking now for a company to fit into their lives post-lockdown? As opposed to previously and historically looking for a company that can deliver and realise on their dreams or career aspirations. What do you think?
Yeah. Regardless of COVID, the biggest disappointment I always had when interviewing people, and regardless of role, right, regardless of the seniority of the role, was people always came prepared and had done a lot of research on the company. They've read the chairman's reports. They could tell you what your latest share offerings is and earnings and how you fare with your competitors and what the market thinks about you based on the analysis reports. They could tell me everything I already know. But what they're telling me is they have the ability to research and they've done their homework, and you know, they're saying that I want to come and work for your company because you sell these great things.
Yeah.
But what they never do, and for me, it's such a big point because it's a differentiator between the difference between you and someone else who has exactly the same skills, qualifications, experience as you have.
Yeah.
But what's going to get that alternative person over the post is the one that interviews me about why they should come and work in our business. So what's our employee value proposition?
Yep.
If I bring these skills to you, I bring my experience to your organization, how are you going to help me, A, meet my true potential, my full potential?
Yeah.
So if you can help me recognize those and then help me meet those, whilst, by the way, I'm delivering on my day job to you, I can progress. How are you going to help me to do that? What programs do you have to assist me? How do you really put into practice what you're saying? So what are your corporate values? And nobody ever asked me those questions. And for me, as an employer who wants low retention and who wants people who are not just working for a salary or just saying, I will do 9 to 5 and I will meet my KPIs and that's it.
Yeah.
But people who say, look, I'm going to do my job and I'm going to perform.
Yep.
I want you to challenge me and allow me to reach my full potential. And if I can do that, what are the options available to me in your business? And what are your values, and why do you have these values? That's my biggest disappointment is, you know, every organization has or should have an employee value proposition that encourages growth, development, reduces churn, spots talent, and allows people to develop and progress. And I think as part of the new normal, COVID, when we come out of that, I think that's even more important, you know. Yes.
So in answer to the question, which was, you know, will people be looking for more of a company fit? You agree that in fact it will be. People will be looking for more of a company that fits into their life and to their values and to their, so it's looking for that match. I speak to a number of candidates and they say things like that, you know, I don't know what to say, or should I do this? Or I said, look, stop this worry and this anxiety. You are going to have this conversation with this other person and you're going to see if there's a match there.
Yeah.
And it's about you asking questions as much as them asking questions to you. So it shouldn't really be seen. The word interview really shouldn't be. I think that should be obsolete. I think it should go, because it really isn't an interview. It's a conversation. It's an informal discussion about your skills and the company. And it's saying, does that match? Does that work? And if that does, and it works right now, what will it look like in 3 years' time? What will it look in 5 years' time? Will it still match? And if it doesn't match, how will it look? And that's what it's about. And I think the term interview can sometimes be quite, can be seen as this sort of one-sided event. And I think that will change as we move forward and people will progressively go, right, okay, so most companies now offer these options, such as working from home, flexibility, culture, values, all of that. And they will probably look more so at these areas to see how they suit their lives. But it's a very interesting point that you mentioned before about the fact that everybody does research and then people come on and they don't really talk about those personal things. So I think that's quite significant.
You would be crazy to walk into a process and not have done your research on the company. Because you're going to be asked, why us? Why are you here? What do you know about us? It's obvious.
Yeah.
It's not because the person opposite you needs to learn about their company. It's they just want to know what your ability is to learn and where you do your research and what information you've been able to find and how accurate and up-to-date it is.
Yeah.
Because that might be a requirement of your job. So if they haven't done it, it's just laziness. You go, do you know what? Their work standards, their preparation ethics are not right for us. Let's move on.
How does someone see a culture? How does someone see a value?
Brand is a promise to deliver a service. It's how you do it which counts. And you know, and you talk about values, and to connect the dots between what you say and what you do, how do you show a culture? How do you, first we've got to look at the words that people use, you know, and the words you expect to find is, you know, like for it, like our customer first, you know, is our first corporate value, right? And in that, we say, you know, we want to be, you know, we want to wow our customers, right? We want to be the expert in the room. We want every engagement to be positive and a productive experience. But we also want to be able to challenge the customer professionally. And so if that, what our values say, and I'm going to can, I was going to say, look, I've read what your values and I buy into that, but give me examples of how that is put into practice. And you just ask the question. And my answer would be, that's a really good question. And thank you. So we know these values are important to us and we do practice them and we can show solid engagements. And here's an example that I can share with you that we might have published. But the real example is our customer churn. Our renewal rate or retention rate of our customers is X percent. And the market is usually at this and we're up there. So we have that trust with our customers because of that value that we practice.
Yeah.
And by not practicing value, our retention rate will be more in line with the market, which is much lower. So that's a really important one for us. It's how you measure value, and people measure value in different ways. You
know, absolutely.
Based on how much commission they earn, right?
Yeah.
You know, a finance person, it could be on how they simplify the reporting, or, you know, translate very, very complex financial rules into a language and a reporting pack that, you know, people like me or people in the teams can easily read and understand and then make comment on. So it depends, you know, it really does depend. And that's why, you know, you've got to look at the corporate values of a business and see where, you know, each one of those can, you know, you can contribute towards and then have that conversation. Because, you know, let's not forget, right, investors also look at an organization's corporate values as well. And they also, so and then I'm talking about hedge funds and, you know, the Warren Buffets of the world, right?
Yeah.
They will spend as much time reading the chairman's report and the annual accounts as they will the corporate values. Yep. And they will monitor the corporate values that organization publishes and how they're measuring them and how they are, because that is the impact on the brand, the values that, you know, you can connect the dots to the brand, then that the share price goes up and your dividends go up and so on.
Yeah.
Or you're in a tough decline market, but you stick to your values, you know, then, you know, your investors are more likely to stay with you rather than jump ship, you know, and I've given an example of that, right?
Yeah.
Volkswagen.
Yep.
They had very strong corporate values, but they didn't live by them. They cheated the system, you know, and they lied about the emissions. And you probably read over the weekend that they lost that court case where they now have to pay one customer €28,000 in damages. That means every customer that bought a car between that period is going to get €28,000 minimum as damages.
Yeah. Right?
So they do not live by their values. So now their brand is impacted. Investors will start to jump ship and start going towards BMW or Mercedes. But anything associated to Volkswagen right now is on the decline because of that. Mm. They did not live by their integrity was a use that they were, that was a word that they used, but did not live by. And employees, potential employees, should look at that and ask that question.
Would you say that having a social presence enhances people's perception of what valuable is to them with regard to that company?
So yes, is a short answer to that, because that builds perception. You know, you got to remember, right? I think I said it already. People forget what brand means. And quite simding in the material that you publish, that you use words like integrity and trust and inclusive and empathy. You know, and again, you know, the question is, well, how do you measure that? How do you know you have that? And you can say, well, you know, if I look at my management team, my direct reports today, every single one of them have come through the business.
Yeah.
Not one person I brought in from the inside. If you look at the top five managers across Europe, all five of those have come through the UK business, which actually is a fact, right?
Yeah.
You know, and we do that because we have this talent management program. The talent management program is associated with some world-renowned universities. We work with INSEAD, we work with MIT, we work with Harvard. You know, and we design a program specifically for the individual based on their ambitions. So therefore, as a result of that, our retention rate, the average for the industry is 25%. Our retention rate is 5%.
Wow.
And you can go to people, right? So, and that's how. So the thing is, you put these statements on a wall,
yep,
it gives everybody the right to question them,
yep,
and say, how are you measuring that and how effective is it to you in your business?
Yep.
And B, how it can help me and support me.
Yeah. So, Lorenzo, before we kind of finish up, I guess, and sort of provide, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I love talking to you, but obviously I don't want to take up too much of your time. Exactly. What sort of takeaways, I guess, or tips would you say to anybody looking for a new position, whether it be silently looking or actively looking, or maybe in slight desperation looking, what would you ask them to really focus on and write down before making that decision or choice?
So the first thing is never do anything in desperation. because you'd always make the wrong choices.
Yep.
And, you know, I was very lucky when I was younger. I had a great mentor who was the ex-CEO of Bank of Ireland. In fact, his name is still on the banknotes, on the 50-euro Irish banknote.
Oh, wow.
And Roy Keenan was his name. So it still is his name, still alive. But I had him as a mentor. I was very lucky. And what he told me then is still relevant today, which was find out what is important to you first. Because if you don't understand your desires, your wishes, your ambitions, and your values, he was one of the first guys that connected me to values, then, and you pick the wrong company, you will never feel fulfilled.
Yep.
You'll just keep moving and you'll be one of the people that are lost.
Yep.
So always write down a pros and cons list.
Yep.
Of what your values are, what's high up on your list and what's low on your list.
Yep.
Don't try not to number them 1 to 10, because that's difficult to do, because, you know, depending where you are in your own cycle in life.
Yeah, I agree. You kind of hierarchy, you put them in a hierarchy then, don't you? Like, this is my first thing that I need to achieve, and 10 being the least I need to achieve, when really that might not be the case.
If you're a young single person, you know, your number one priority could be, I just want to find the organisation that's going to get me up that career ladder as quickly as possible, because career development is my number one priority.
Yeah.
But then again, in 5 years' time, you may be married and you may be having your first child, and your priorities could be stability, but also work-life balance, because you want to be at home with the baby, etc., if that is your drive. But just understand what your values are. So work out your values. Going back to what we were talking about at the beginning, do people actually understand their own values? We use the values today, the alternative work drivers, right? They're the same thing. They are associated.
Yeah.
And then when you research organisations, do you decide, do you want to work for the best organisation or one of the top 5 organisations in that industry, or do you want to work for a small boutique? And understand the benefits and the pros and cons of each.
Yeah.
You know, working for the top 5 means they're probably going to be global, give you the opportunity to work overseas, more opportunities to develop in other areas.
Mm.
If you work for a smaller niche, they're probably more local or more regional, so less opportunities to work overseas, probably even less opportunities to develop in the career ladder, but you become a specialist and you'll probably move around a lot more in that segment. So then make that decision.
Yep.
And then do your research. When you've worked out the list of companies that you would like to work for, do your research. But also, do not prioritize, you know, the book. You know, yes, you need to understand how they're performing. You need to make sure you're joining a company that is secure and has a good plan and is backed by the market and backed by its investors. But then the down selection will come when you start to associate your values, your drivers, with their values. And then if you can do those two things, then going back to your very first question at the very beginning, you then have a cultural fit. And that's where culture comes in. When you can connect dots between strategy and values, they meet yours, that's a cultural fit, because you sign up to their ambition, which is the brand growth. Their values are aligned to your values, and that's the cultural fit.
I love it. Brilliant. I think they are fantastic tips, and I really do think a number of listeners would really take a lot of value from those words, Lorenzo. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Lorenzo. I've really enjoyed your company, and as always, a wonder to talk to. And I really hope the listeners have taken some great tips there from some of the topics that we spoke about. So brilliant. So thank you very much, Lorenzo, and hope to have you on the show again.
Well, thank you, Claire. It's been great speaking to you, and look forward to catching up with you soon.
Brilliant. Thanks for listening. Hopefully the conversation there has allowed you to open up your mind a little bit on how you're perceived in an interview and how best you can match that right company to you and your career choices and how that will look for you, not just now, but 3, 5, 6 years in time. It's all about making the right choices and adding value where you can add value. It's also working with a company that sees your value, listens to your value, and wants your value. Don't go and make those bad choices and match yourself up with something completely wrong. Really dig deep and find out what it is that you want to do. Regardless of COVID-19 and the situation we're currently in, you always have the opportunity to go and manage your own aspirations and dreams. If you like what you heard, please remember to follow and share.